What's up, guys? Duke's here. I'm with Keith. What's up, Keith?
What up, everybody?
We got together, man. We thought it'd be a good idea since St. Louis has this huge vote coming up for the Proposition 1 and 2. I know you've heard about it. If not, I'm sure you've seen a billboard, or I'm sure you've seen a yard sign or something like that. It's coming up less than a week away. Next Tuesday, right, Keith?
Yes.
Right? April. Yes. What did I say? April 4th?
April 4th.
April 4th. We decided, why not get together and, one, let's talk about it for a second. I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for us living in the city and for the whole city. And then we figured, well, if we're going to talk about it, why not bring in John Berner, who we've had on the podcast previously, being a professional soccer player, you know, for the Colorado Rapids. Like, I'm sure he knows about this, and he's been in the league while other expansion teams last year, and what do you say, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes.
Something like that. So we gave him a call, and we talked to him, and it was a great talk, and I think it went pretty well, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, overall, I'd give it 2 thumbs up, man. I think he was definitely pro, obviously, because, I mean,
right,
he's in the MLS, and, you know, I thought it'd be a good idea to get him on and, you know, pick his brain a little bit about it, see what he had to say about it.
Yeah, I think overall you could tell that he really has, like, there's some serious passion there, not only for the sport of soccer, obviously, that he plays, but I think for the city of St. Louis. Like, I think you could tell that he was hometown all the way, you know what I mean?
Well, I think his love for the city actually comes out really, you know, very well in the interview. Really. He has passion for this city. He really does care about this city. He wants to see it succeed.
Yeah. I think that comes out clear with him. So we, after the phone call, stick around, because me and Keith decided that we would blabber on about the other side of it. When we talked to John, we didn't really get into the taxes or any of that stuff. We kind of kept it sports related, I guess. But after that, me and Keith were kind of just talking about a bunch of nonsense. But that other nonsense is, you know, part of this. The taxes are, that's probably, if you live in any of the St. Louis city districts, they're going to affect you. And so our whole message was this piece, this short episode that we're coming out with here is, it's purely information is what we're going for. We want you to know that it's coming up. And we want you to, if you're going to vote or not going to vote, whatever that may be, to just be informed. We're not going to do the best job of informing you, but we'll at least maybe put some ideas in your head. And the whole point of this is for you to take whatever this is and go out there, do your own research, and make your own decisions based off your own feelings off of that research. That's a really weird way to say that, I think. But we're just saying, man, go out there, be informed. Whether you're voting or not, just be informed. But just do me a favor, though. When you do your research, look or watch or whatever you're doing, more than one source, more than two sources. If you're going to actually get into it, get into it. It's a hot topic. There's some hot feelings out there.
Yeah, and please don't count us as a source.
Yeah, we are anything. Literally, the title says it, anything but credible. We're just trying to say, hey, this will impact us, and we know it'll impact, obviously, on 300,000 other people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why not bring it up? But we appreciate John jumping on, and we appreciate you guys checking in. So without further ado, John Berner, and after that is me and Keith bullshitting, basically. But enjoy, and what do you say, Keith? Let's get to the episode, man.
Hell yeah.
John, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey,
good. I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good, man. We appreciate you taking a couple minutes to sit down and talk with us.
Hey, anything for the ABC pod. Yeah. I love coming on. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah. Listen, man, as you know, in about a week, a little bit less than a week, the city of St. Louis has a huge vote coming up, okay? And so we're talking the MLS to STL, right?
MLS to STL, yeah.
Yeah. And I know, you know, you've been big on it, and we've already previously stated that, you know, you're a St. Louis guy, not only a St. Louis guy, but a South City guy. So
yeah.
We kind of just want to figure we'd give you a call and see, you know, I think we could start it off by, before we get into the serious stuff, the Prop 1, Prop 2, I got a couple questions for you. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Hit me.
These are dead serious questions too. Being a goaltender for the Colorado Rapids, can you please explain to me why there is a rule, why the rule is that if someone kicks a penalty kick and that goalie blocks it back into play, that it is a live ball? Can you please explain to me why that's a rule?
Whoa,
why is that a rule?
You know what?
Why is it not like a NHL
shootout
penalty shot?
Deal. Yeah.
Once you shoot it, it should be gone. John, do you have any explanation for this? What are your thoughts on this?
You know what? I wish I had an explanation, but as a goalkeeper, that's one of the most frustrating things about penalty kicks. I remember it was my junior year at SIUE. We had a tie game, NEC championship. They had a PK with 4 minutes left, and I saved it. But the ball went right back to the kicker, and he just hammered it home and scored.
See,
so I know that exact moment that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's awful.
This is real life.
Frustrating thing. And to be fair, if there was like any rule I could change, you know, that might not be it. That's a great point, man. It's a frustrating situation when that happens.
Well, all right, we'll get back to what you just said in a second, but I just don't understand because why? It just makes it like, okay, I understand that these goaltenders are top-notch levels, but that means you actually have to catch it. And how often are you going to actually catch? You're only going to catch like a really bad penalty kick. I mean, that's got to be so tough to actually catch one. You know what I'm saying? Keith, do you not know that this?
No, I had no idea this was a rule. I figured they shot it, he blocked it, on to the next one.
No, you never seen that? You never seen him score after that?
No.
We're talking on the line penalty box.
If it happens in the middle of a game, it's just like he shoots and play continues. But if it's like sudden death PK.
Yeah, that's probably what you're thinking about, Keith. Is like,
yeah, that's totally what I'm thinking about, sudden death PKs. Okay, but that's still kind of rough because what if you dive for that ball? Like, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're at the mercy of whoever. And that's what I was thinking is like, so even if, okay, let's say your defenders, like they're all on the box, whatever you call that, box line or whatever, and they're like, they're ready for this, right? Because that's like, they have to be ready because it's a live ball. So let's imagine this guy shoots it, you block it, it bounces, dribbles out.
Yeah.
Even if that guy, perfect timing, your defender on the line has perfect timing and he just bolts it full speed, I mean, is he really going to be able to get to that ball before it comes back to the shooter? I don't think so. There's just no way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened before, but come on. What are the odds? I'd like to see the percentages of a team saving a penalty kick, ball staying in play, and then getting the possession back. I'd like to see the stats of that.
Dude, you make a really, really valid argument here.
People out there are probably like, what is his problem?
Commissioner Dudes
over here. You might have to
like
call FIFA.
I think I might. I might start a petition.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm signing. I'm the first one to sign.
You better raise a bunch of money for FIFA. A whole bunch of money.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the only way they make moves.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true,
I don't know. Yeah.
What rule would you change, John?
Put me on the spot.
Well, you said it wouldn't be the one. Let me ask this. I won't even put you on the spot. I got one more question for you, and that's it.
All right, hit me.
Is it a myth, the rule about the goaltender only being able to hold the ball for a certain amount of time? Is that like a real rule, or is that kind of like the NBA, like a out of bounds 5 second rule, where it's more of a myth than it's actually going to get called?
Yeah, so that's kind of a tricky one. So actually, like a couple preseasons ago, the referee organization, they do a presentation every year, and it's called Pro. And they have certain referees and the head of referees come in and just kind of go over rules and everything. And that year they told us like they were really, really going to start being strict about that rule. It's technically only supposed to have 6 seconds. But as a goalkeeper, you know, during the game, you get the ball in your hands and 6 seconds goes by like that.
Yeah.
So it's really tough to actually distribute the ball within 6 seconds, and especially at the end of games, if you're maybe trying to waste some time and maybe take it a little too long, I think referees are going to start cracking down on it. But I don't think, I mean, if you count 6 seconds out loud, you can tell most goalies hold on to it for much longer than that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because you're like,
when kind it comes, of a rule, but
like it's one of those things that it's in the rule book, but it's kind of like the NBA. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen an NBA get a 5 second out of bounds call. I mean, in college they'll call it just because, one, the college refs are terrible, and two, I guess they're trying to be the rules whatever, but it's just kind of one of those things where, like, yeah, in the NBA, like, yeah, technically you only get 5 seconds out of bounds, but, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
Pretty similar. Yeah, pretty similar.
Okay. I don't know why those just popped in my head. I just had to get those questions off. I don't know. I don't know how sometimes the brain works in a weird way, man.
I'm here to answer. I'm here to answer them.
Yeah. Well, back to the main topic here that we're talking about here is Proposition 1 and 2, okay? MLS to STO. Obviously, I think everyone knows the gist of it, trying to bring one of the expansion MLS teams to the city of St. Louis. We're not going to necessarily get into, you know, the taxes and all that crazy stuff, but I just want to kind of ask you, like, where you're at on this, what your stance is, and what you've been doing, or have you been doing anything as far as promoting or not promoting, you know, like, what's going on? Where are you at with this?
Guys, I am 110% committed to MLS coming to St. Louis. Countless reasons. Just the fact that, one, I'm playing professional soccer in MLS. I'm from St. Louis, and, you know, it'd be a lifelong dream to be able to play my professional sport in front of my hometown. You know, that's something I've dreamt about since I was a little kid. And the fact that there's an opportunity to make that happen, you know, it's really, really exciting. So exciting. And, there's so much. We can kind of go into it here, but there's so many positive things that would come from this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, let's dive, you know, want to dive into some of those. Keith, you got anything right off the bat?
Yeah. Now, I know it's like, soccer's kind of new to the United States. Not really. Like, we know about it, obviously, but it is a growing thing among, I guess, our age. And, just, could you talk a little bit on that? What are the fans like? Is it older, younger? Because I feel like it'd be a younger group of fans.
You're talking about here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, just across the country, I don't know the exact stat, but I think in terms of millennials, soccer is now the second most popular sport. And if you look around, you know, kids growing up these days, they're not playing baseball. They're not playing football. What are they doing? There are so many kids playing soccer. And if you look at the demographic of fans, then, you know, the kids that go out to all these games and the cheering sections, they're all young people. And I think that's a huge draw to the St. Louis area. I mean, there's so many youth programs in St. Louis that, I mean, it just, to me, it doesn't, I still don't know how we don't have an MLS team in St. Louis. I mean, and even in terms of, like I said, the fans, like, these are very interactive, you know. If you go to a soccer game and you're in the fan section, you're on your feet, you're cheering, you're in the game, whereas, you know, you just don't really have that with many other sports. So soccer is definitely a younger the fan base is definitely so much younger, and now it's probably the most popular sport amongst millennials.
Right, and I think that adds to, Keith, what you were saying, especially with St. Louis and such the rich. I mean, that's our background is actually soccer. You know, if we go back, that we have a rich soccer background, and so I'm sure I want to kind of piggyback off of what Keith was saying or asking, I guess. So last year the expansion was Orlando. Was that the only one? Was there more than one expansion team? Was that
so? There were, 3 years ago, it was Orlando and
okay, that's what I meant.
Another New York City team.
Okay.
But just this past year, it was Atlanta and Minnesota.
Okay. And so one of the other things that I see, kind of what to piggyback off of Keith was, and maybe you'll get into this, I don't know, when you, mm-hmm. after this, we'll kind of get into your other, the other pros that you see. But I have to imagine that to be some kind of professional MLS youth program starting, continuing, ramping up. I don't know where that is or something. I would have to imagine, I don't know if you know in those cities when they expanded, if that was something that the MLS kind of stamps, you know, if that's like a stamp that's like, that's going to happen. Do you know anything about that?
So you're kind of asking just more about the community kind of side,
yeah.
of it.
Mm-hmm, right. The impact, you know, the impact that, like Keith was saying, just the impact that soccer, you know, might have on a new, coming to a new city professionally.
Right. So actually, we can kind of go into the ownership group. I think a lot of people still have a little sour taste in their mouth from the Rams leaving, but this ownership group that we have, SCSTL, this ownership group it has all of the right people to make this a huge, huge success. And one of their main priorities is being involved in the community. They're not just coming here to try and earn a quick buck. They can see how special this city is and the soccer history, and they can just see that this would be a full-on home run. So actually, I think it might have been a week ago, whereas the ownership group just kind of came to terms with like a community benefits agreement. So they're partnering with local organizations such as like the Boys and Girls Club, the Urban League of Metropolitan St. Louis. I think another one was Matthews Dickey's Boys and Girls Club, like just little organizations like that. And they have so many things that would be beneficial for all of these. And the ownership group has actually already came out and said that they would donate $5 million over the next 20 years to like some of the local soccer teams. And, you know, they've come out like, they would give 100 free tickets to some local city organizations and just all sorts of things, being very, very involved in the community. And this isn't even like team appearances. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a Rapids player, every couple times a month, we have guys from the team that go do appearances in the community, help out with kids, just different volunteer work. So all those things that I mentioned, that's just the ownership group taking investment in the community. That's not even talking about the team getting out into the community and volunteering as well. So I think there's a huge, huge benefit. Like I said, the ownership group is not here just to earn a quick buck. They are in it, and they know how important the community is for the St. Louis area.
Yeah, it sounds like they're kind of trying to start planting roots, you know, already as far as that goes.
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
I have a question for you, because through the conversations that I've had and the things that I've read, it had me wondering why, and this might be a silly question, I don't know, but, you know, why put it in the heart of downtown? I think that's a big problem, right? Like, that people have, is like with the taxes, it's majority of city that's coming from the city, mm-hmm. and stuff, but like, why not do something like the Rapids have, where their stadium is kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 minutes outside of the city. I know, obviously, it's a different kind of setup, and our downtown's right on the river. I get that. But, you know, what do you think about the thought of maybe if it was, do you think the reaction stuff would be different, the same, if they did something like the Rapids, where the stadium is kind of out, you know, further, and it's kind of on its own thing? Because the Rapids is, what would you say, about 20 minutes outside of downtown? It's kind of just... It's not in the middle of nowhere, but it's definitely like its own area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's hard to do in St. Louis. Sorry, John, for cutting you off.
Yeah, it'd have to go far out, though. Like, but that's the thing.
No, it's because the city and county aren't
the same. They're not connected at all.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Okay. So that's just not even a possibility.
No, it'd either be have to be in the city or the county, I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't exactly know how it would work.
Like, what if it was, like, the STL thing, but it was out in Chesterfield or something? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah, so I can kind of jump in there. So, actually, one of the big things for MLS expansion now is to kind of have a downtown stadium. That's kind of what the league is really pushing, and that's kind of where they've seen a lot of success is when teams are able to secure a downtown stadium. So in order for St. Louis to be granted that expansion team, MLS actually would want St. Louis to have a downtown stadium.
Okay.
But to kind of answer your question, I think that is so much more beneficial than having a stadium, say, out in Chesterfield or out in Wentzville somewhere. I think, all right, let's be honest, guys. Like, what do you guys go downtown for?
Baseball games or hockey games.
Yeah, that's it. Right. And that kind of leads into what I was going to ask you, too, because I know that's been Taylor Twellman's been that's his big promotion. It's like, we need to bring people downtown and the whole downtown ecosystem and all that stuff. Have you talked to him about anything or come into any kind of contact about? Because I know that was his big driving point.
Right. No, I haven't really spoke to Taylor, but, you know, I think we're on the same page. I just watched an interview of him yesterday, and he honestly couldn't have said it any better. You know, St. Louis is—I hate to say it—but St. Louis is struggling right now. There's no people moving to St. Louis. Like, there's no sense of urgency about the city to develop. There's no young kids, young people moving here out of college. There's no businesses that are wanting to move to St. Louis, and it feels to me like downtown St. Louis is kind of just frailing away. And I think if you put a downtown soccer-specific stadium right down next to Union Station, I mean, that would completely revitalize the whole kind of the area. And you think about the bars and restaurants, and not only would you have these soccer games for the MLS team in St. Louis, but you would have international games. You would have so many concerts, so many other events at this soccer-specific stadium that would just really, really be great for that area. You know, it's just, like I said, I can just imagine in 10 years just all of Market Street down there. You know, I think Taylor Twellman kind of went into it. You know, say the Cardinals play Saturday at 1 and there's a Sunday MLS game. You got people that are traveling for these games. You got the downtown bars, the downtown restaurants that are just booming now. And I think it could honestly completely revitalize the scene of that downtown area.
There's no doubt. I definitely think it would help downtown. It would be neat to have all three stadiums downtown as well. And obviously you can walk from one to the other. That's how close they are. And then as far as the bars and stuff go, it's definitely going to bring in revenue for them from everybody coming out of town, and probably be a lot easier to host football games there instead of like at Bush when Mizzou plays or something along those lines.
Right, yeah. They've already said, you know, like you could have like a state high school football championship game there and just so many other different events that would just benefit the city.
Yeah, okay. Well, John, man, what else? I mean, before we let you go, I guess, let me ask you, I mean, is there anything else out there that, you know, that you haven't said that you'd like to say or that, you know, people might not know about or should know? Or is there anything that you can think of that?
No, I mean, like this is an incredible, incredible opportunity for the city of St. Louis. You know, I know a lot of people can't really see it right now, but I can promise you, if Propositions 1 and 2 pass a week from now, this is going to be one of the greatest step forward that St. Louis has seen. Like I said, 10, 15 years from now, the scene of downtown St. Louis is going to be completely younger, more vibrant, going to be drawing a lot more millennials, building a city, the stadium would, let's see here, the stadium would, you know, 450 construction jobs, over 400 permanent jobs. You got different events coming in, and not to mention just like the history and the youth programs. And St. Louis is literally the perfect blueprint for an MLS team. And everyone around the country knows it. The ownership group knows it. That's why they're here, because we know we can make this something really, really special. The commissioner of MLS knows. And like I said, I'm super, super passionate about it. I mean, I really, really hope it passes. I have a good feeling it will. But I just think that if we let this opportunity go, we're going to really be regretting it in the next 5 to 10 years.
Well said, John. We can tell that the heart and the passion's there. I think that's obvious. Keith, you got anything else for him before we let him go?
No, I think he made very valid points. Yeah. And yeah.
Well, John, we'll direct people also to check out, what was that letter you wrote? Wasn't it St. Lugans? Was that the?
Yeah. So, if you check out my Twitter, it's on my Twitter, my Facebook page. I basically just kind of wrote 4 or 5 pages just about my thoughts.
Yeah.
On why St. Louis is as a team. So if anyone wants to go check that out, I'd love if they read that. And if anyone listens, you live in the city or know people that live in the city, go vote yes on Propositions 1 and 2.
All right, John. Good stuff, man. Like I said, we appreciate you jumping on, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. Always love going on the ABC pod, and I'll hopefully talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, man, and good luck with everything out there in Denver. I know you'll keep updated on the stuff happening back home in St. Louis, but good luck on everything out there.
All right. Appreciate it, fellas.
Peace out, John.
Okay, Keith, what do you think, man?
I thought it was pretty good.
You can tell he's definitely in it. I mean, yeah. I mean, you can tell he's there. Yeah, he's put a lot of hard work into, you know, he's handing out signs and stuff, even though he's 800 miles away or whatever it is.
Yeah, he's definitely putting in work. I think I've been checking out his Twitter feed, and it's like every day it's a retweet of what somebody said or, you know, just all about it right now. He has dove straight in.
Just know that we're doing this as a purely trying to as an informational source. Okay, so me and Keith, we kind of want to talk about the other side of it now, because John lives the soccer life. I mean, he's passionate, and of course, you know, he wants that and stuff. We didn't really want to get into it all with him about what's actually happening, so we figured me and Keith, you talk about it for a couple minutes. It won't be very long.
Okay? Yeah.
Because, listen, we're not, we're not holding the high courts or whatever you want to call it. You know, we know what we know, and that's about it, you know?
Yeah.
And we just want it to be known that before we start talking about this, we'll say this at the end too, but this whole thing is for you to be aware of what's coming and to do your own research and decide how you feel about this, okay? We're not swaying anything, okay?
Yeah.
So, let's talk about a couple things. Before we get into any kind of numbers or anything like that, let's talk about John in the downtown ecosystem and livening it up. And that's what Taylor Twellman was big on, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any denying that, okay? That downtown, one, could use something like that, right?
It could use an injection, for sure.
And he's definitely on the right path of saying, like, the only time we go down there, and I think a lot of people are the same way, as especially for Cards games, Blues games, wouldn't it be number 2? And number 3, I would say the only other reason would be if you're going to Wash Ave for a nightlife, maybe a Saturday night or something.
Or a Ballpark Village, but yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And I feel like that's probably the most common thing. But there are other things, though, that go along with that, like details that I don't even really know about. Like, for instance, you're automatically going to think of, okay, we're replacing the Rams, right? We're getting, okay, but, you know, how exactly, so I think a lot of people are maybe afraid of, like he was saying, about the ownership and just having more wealthy people, but I think if you're going to get any kind of sports team, I know this is not specifically, people are mad because it's soccer, it's just because we're getting a sports team.
Yeah.
So, wealthy people in charge, that's a thing. But the area, that's my thing, is like, it right next to Union Station, like having it set up would be cool, but it's like literally tucked in there, okay? And it's, I don't know. It would just be like, how long are we talking the building process? Because that's downtown is already, the traffic's already screwed as it is.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I don't have any problem with wealthy people investing in our city. I don't have a problem with that. I also don't think they would leave necessarily anytime soon. I mean,
well, that's the other thing too.
Is the expansion experiment has to at least play itself out for a while to even figure this whole thing out. And then as far as construction, I mean, they can throw up anything anywhere. I mean, traffic might be a little bad.
Yeah, that was, believe me, that's the least of the problems there. It was more of a joke. It was just a bad one. Let's start with this, and let's explain. We didn't really get into like what's actually happening, okay? So I'm sure people out there are like, obviously, okay? But I didn't know until I really looked into this. So I feel the need to say it. That Proposition 1 and 2 are obviously, they're separate things, okay? Yes. Now, Proposition 2 cannot happen without Proposition 1, okay? So you can go in and vote for Prop 1, yes, and Prop 2, no, or vice versa, okay? But it has, Prop 2 cannot go with 1. So what's happening, right, is Prop 1 is increasing our sales tax for the city, for St. Louis City, all city districts or whatever jurisdictions, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what the right name is. But 0.5 cent raise,
mm-hmm.
okay, which will increase the total to, I believe, somewhere around 9.179%. And Prop 1, the majority of this, or what they're saying, not the majority, but a good chunk of it at least, is supposed to be dedicated for the light rail and Metrolink and public safety renovations and expansion. They're talking about the Metrolink expanding from somewhere like, I think it was from Cherokee Street to the new NGA site in North City. And so then what happens is Prop 2 comes and that takes that sales tax and basically directs it towards a new stadium, okay? And what they're saying is Prop 2, what they're wanting is around $60 million, I think. And from what I've read, it's something like the $50 million will come from the tax increase itself towards the stadium, or $50 million of the tax will go towards the stadium. And then I think somewhere like $10 million will be paid by the city of St. Louis. I think that's like once it's built, something like the taxes that come off and from the stadium, like sales tax and stuff, I'm guessing. I'm not really sure how that works, but the city will be paying like a $10 million or something like that. Prop 2 is what they call a use tax, which Prop 2, it affects the businesses. And that tax, the use tax portion of it will be on any products from coming from out of state. Any out-of-state products.
Okay.
Prop 2 is also the main thing that is directing it to the stadium. Okay, so even if you pass Proposition 1, you're still going to get that tax. Right? What's happening is if you vote yes for Proposition 2, then that is saying we want this tax, the majority of it, to go towards a new stadium.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's a lot of other things that you have to think about when talking about that, because the other thing too is what they're say that might not even be a reality as far as budgeting wise. So I'm not exactly sure. I mean, this is where you the listeners out there will have to dive into it and look at your own numbers, because, you know.
Plus, you got to think of what your tax dollars.
Yeah. Okay. Give me.
You know what I mean? This is all coming down to, what do you want your tax dollars going to? That's my thought.
That's simple for you.
Yeah. What do you want your tax dollars going to? If you don't want them to go to either Metrolink or the stadium, vote no on both. If you want them to go to both, vote yes on both. But in order to get the soccer stadium, we have to pass both 1 and 2.
See, the thing is, though, is, you know, that is basically exactly it, how you put it. What you have to think, too, is, you know, some people are saying, well, why put it towards a sports team when we can put it towards things like you know, the overall the public housing and wellness and better programs or public safety and things like that. You know, there's a lot of things that people would much rather have it go into. And hey, that's what we're saying, you know, look into it. Because I can understand, you know, if you're like, you know, like the key said, it really comes down to if you want it to be a stadium or not. The main thing I think what's happening here, though, is that they're saying that these taxes and stuff, since it's the city districts, will affect the basically make the poor in a sense. Like, what are your thoughts about that? Like, those cities like North City and maybe some of the U City areas and stuff like that, that, you know, instead of going to fix those things, we're throwing it downtown for a new soccer team. That's what I think a lot of people are afraid of. Because if we're talking just city districts, you know, you
this,
got...
This could be creating jobs, though.
That's true. And then Berner put a good point when he said that.
Yeah.
What do you ever... I don't know what the number was, 400,000 or something like that.
No, it wasn't 400,000. I think it was 450 construction
jobs. That's what I meant.
400 permanent jobs, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Something like that. But yeah, so this comes down to it, too, is you got to think about it like that.
Yeah.
You can't just say, like... It is what it is, because there's two sides of it, and that's basically what we wanted to get it across, to plan in your head, to not just look at one side of it, whichever side it is, to and to, like Keith said, go out there and vote.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's eventually it's your money, pretty much. I mean, you're getting taxed it, so what do you want it to go to? You decide. That's the way I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where I think, though, like we talked about off air, is that I think people want, I don't even know if it's, I mean, I'm sure it is soccer, but I personally, I think it's just necessarily another sports team, something new. Well, soccer, it probably is because of soccer, because that's brand new for us professionally. But I think that they just, sometimes they overlook the, you know, the numbers, that we're not necessarily doing the greatest job of covering just because, you know, I mean, it really, like you said, it really comes down to that. I mean, you can read a bunch of articles and stuff, and they'll tell you what they want and whoever wrote it wants and stuff. But that's a opinionated thing. But, you know, it definitely is a thing, though, to overlook what these taxes and how it will affect you just because you want it so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, I think for a lot of people out there.
Yeah. Do your research. Get educated on the subject. Go out and vote.
Yeah. April 4th. Remember that date. That you'll hear it again if you're in the city of St. Louis.
Yeah, that is next Tuesday.
Yeah, this upcoming Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right.
This upcoming Tuesday.
All right, man. Well, that's all I got. Yeah, that's all you got?
That's all I got, man.
Well, we got some more research to do before Tuesday.
That's true.
With that being said, thanks for checking in. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next time.
Peace.